Thinking of study abroad or just a summer away learning English? Concerned about your child's education or simply about their future? With all the latest on education and policies. This is Education Today, weekdays on newsplusradio.cn. Hello and welcome to Education Today. I'm Mo Yo. Today's keyword is job hunting. Now it is the job hunting season. And the latest survey from RMG Selection Sostat, campus recruitment has already started. And the campus recruitment accounts for more than 20% of the whole year's hiring in nearly half of the companies. And only 6% of the firms do not have this project.And 8.2% of companies did not hire new talents in the first quarter of this year. And the state-owned enterprises rank as the number one hiring need companies. And around 99% of them introduced new talents in first quarter. While the joint venture had the lowest hiring rate, only 81% of them has new hiring positions.Well, machinery, IT, and legal sectors are on the top list of new headcounts. Well, manufacturing industry is the lowest level, account for 78% of the new hiring. Well, for more about the job hunting, and also especially about the campus recruitment, what are the do's and don'ts? So what do HR think that you should do and something that you shouldn't? And should students ask about the salary during the first interview in the campus? And for more about that, I have talked with Robert Parkinson, CEO and founder of RMG Selection, which is an international recruitment consultancy.Good morning, Mr. Parkinson.
Good morning. Nice to be with you.
Thank you. So first of all, what are the main types of enterprises that have started the campus recruitment now?
Well, it's interesting. I mean, generalizations that you normally think of, well, it's the large multinational companies and the large Chinese state-owned enterprises that will focus heavily on campus recruitment. That wasn't always the case.And what we found, there was an interesting spread of various different enterprises. Obviously, the companies with a large degree of staff in China will focus heavily on trying to grow their own people. I think 97% of state-owned enterprises used campus recruiting. But for example, let's take, you know, banking as an example, because... Mm-hmm.Now, a lot of Chinese youngsters aspire to work in banks. Mm-hmm. You know, banks will typically recruit, let's say, for the sake of argument, 1,000 graduates in a year. But they will also expect only half, perhaps, of those people to still be with them at the end of the, maybe not the end of the year, but the end of the sort of graduate intake period. So it's a question of, you know, hiring in great volume and to see who's, really, to see who's any good. So institutions with high volumes of people, and also institutions where it matters, where the background really matters. You know, if you look at small and medium-sized enterprises, it's fairly easy to hop around between those companies, you know, if you have basic administration or sales skills. But, you know, if you work for, I don't know, Sinopec, and you require a really in-depth scientific knowledge of the oil industry, you know, they need to recruit the best graduates from the best Chinese and probably international universities and then keep those people for life almost.
Mm-hmm. And in your survey, it also says that state-owned enterprises rank as the number one hiring need companies in the first quarter. For them, those SOE companies, which major or what are the main majors that can be the hottest?
Yeah, if it's a scientific enterprise, then they may perhaps have a penchant for scientific people. But generally speaking, enterprises, both state-owned or otherwise, will look for people with really well-developed critical thinking skills, business skills. If you really be educated in business skill, which perhaps you can't, maybe I mean business. Yeah, they've studied business and economics. They'll want people who understand economics, particularly the unique economics of China, how that works, and how China's placed in the world, how that works, particularly in view of the changing economic picture in China, the move towards a lot of outbound investment. So they want people who have that capability, but also they want people with good presentation and language skills. So you're looking at majors like international trade, business and economics, finance, for jobs like sales and marketing and production. Those are the those tend to be the hot jobs, because if you look at China's challenges, one of the challenges, of course, is quality. In China's production environment. So people who are well educated in who have a engineering major, for example, from a good university, are well placed to assist companies where quality is an issue, for example.
Since you mentioned about the business skills, which is highly valued by HRs, what kind of skills besides the business skills do the HRs value the most?
Well, I think an ability to get on with other people, is important. And, that was one of the things that our survey found, an ability to be a team player was very highly valued. Good communication skills was valued highly. Specific project experience. So, that relates to internships. Have people done, been around and done internships, in other words, dip their toe in the water, to use an English expression. One of the, I think, the most highly valued aspect of the people, not necessarily in the graduate capacity, but generally speaking, it was the professional knowledge and skills for across the board. But in the graduate segment, presentation skills, language skills, very highly valued. English is very important as a skill. Presentation skills. Do people look the part? Often, be it an HR person, and let's not forget, HRs are really just the introducers. The actual decision makers usually aren't just the HR people. There are other people involved in the process. But, do people fit in? Do people look right? Have people got an interest in the company that they're going to interview with? And can they prove that? Well, one of the things in our survey, for example, was that we looked at values matching with the company. 22% of people found that to be their number one choice of things. But certificates to being a team player, but project experience was the most important thing. So in the context of graduate recruitment, that meant internships. And the other point about internships is it demonstrates, if you've got someone who's done, 10 internships with different companies, it demonstrates get up and go, an entrepreneurial spirit, a desire to get up and do things. Initiative is the word I'm looking for. And that's something that's very highly valued.
The company has already done a lot of research, especially interviewing those HRs. So during the campus recruitment interview, in HR's point of view, as for a student looking for a position in a company, what are the mainly do's and what are the don'ts?
Well, I think, it's being prepared, looking the part, having done some research on the company. Are you genuinely interested in the company, yes or no? Are you well presented? The don'ts are really the reverse of that. People, I've heard anecdotes. I mean, I don't really deal with campus recruitment myself, but I've heard anecdotes of HR friends of mine who do campus recruitment, and you know, they see people turn up in jeans and trainers, you know, with not looking like they've had a haircut for the last 3.5 years. You know, a CV written on a scrap of paper looking like a sort of receipt or something. You know, and it's just a general poor attitude, mm-hmm. a poor sense of desire to be involved with the company. Mm-hmm. You've got to remember that campus recruiting really is a very crude way of recruiting. I mean, these people aren't skilled unless they've got lots of internships, but even then, you know, they haven't got the a tremendous amount of experience, so they are very fresh. It's very theoretical, the information that they have, so it's stuff they've studied. So really all you can go on is, you know, how they come across. It may be the results of psychometric tests, which are quite useful. So it's really it's common sense stuff, you know, getting the basics right. Mm-hmm. Education, foreign languages, professional knowledge, communication skills, and people skills. The people skills thing, is really important, mm-hmm. because that tends to separate the, to use an English expression, the wheat from the chaff, the good from the not so good. You know, can you engage and get on with other people? Mm-hmm. Because after all, even if you're an engineer, you know, even if you're the most technical person in the world, you know, if you're Mark Zuckerberg, you know, a genius programmer, you know, he would have never developed and built Facebook if he couldn't get on with other people. Mm-hmm. You know, Jack Ma, Alibaba, you know, he might be the most gifted salesman in the world or internet pioneer in the world, but if he can't build a team and get on with other people, he's not going to get very far, is he? So that is a really important skill, and that's one of the top things that our survey revealed.
Mm-hmm. You're talking about the haircut, especially in the during the campus interview. So do you think that students need to be suited up, or it is not that much necessary for students to pay too much attention on their outfit as long as it is clean and neat? They can just wear their casual T-shirts.
They can wear what they like at the end of the day. They can come there in their swimming trunks or their boxer shorts or, you know, shorts and a T-shirt. Or they can come with with their best suit on, a tie, polished shoes. It's up to them. But which one of those things is gonna stand them the highest chance of getting them what they want? The salesperson, what he wants to sell to the company, of course, someone who looks like a professional. And by the same token, students who think it's okay just to, you know, walk around looking, frankly, a mess. I mean, I've interviewed interns before who show up in, you know, with no notepad and in jeans and stuff, and some I just turn away, mm-hmm. because I think, yeah, if you can't be bothered to dress properly, I'm not going to waste my time interviewing you, I'm afraid. Mm-hmm. So the answer to your question is, of course, if you want to stand the best chance in a competition, then remember, life is a competition, jobs are a competition, graduate recruiting is a competition for the graduates, then you know, look at all of the ways, all of the different ways, mm-hmm. you know, that you can be better than other people, and that includes your internship experience, your education, your appearance, your everything, and be mm-hmm. better at everything. And then naturally, logic would conclude that you stand a higher chance of achieving what you want to achieve, if, of course, you do want to achieve it.
And now, about the money.
Uh-huh.
Should students ask about the salary during the interview?
How can you possibly, you know, if you, when you discuss money, mm-hmm. you're looking to make a deal with someone, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
And you're looking to, if you have value, if you have great value, mm-hmm. then you can discuss money. If you've got 20 years experience, mm-hmm. and if you are one of three people in the whole of China that can do something, then ultimately it's a bidding war, isn't it? You know, who can pay the most money or offer this person or these three people the best incentives to get to join this company. But if you don't have that experience, then you can't expect people to bid for you. You're, in fact, having to bid for the jobs. So, no, for that simple logical reason, if you've got things the wrong way around, if you think it is about arguing about the money. And secondly, you should know about the money anyway. You know, it's standards of pay for fresh graduates are fairly standard across. If you're working for an American multinational in a entry level position, you know, I can imagine you're going to be paid somewhere in the range of 3 to maybe 6,000 RMB a month. If you're working for an SME, a small or medium sized enterprise, you know, it may be, oh, it's probably going to be similar to that. If I look at my own company, we have a very fixed structure for paying people. And that's because if you start playing with it and you start changing your payment structure, that will upset other people who already work for you because, you know, people don't like being treated unfairly. So steer clear of that question, A, because it's you haven't yet got the leverage, you haven't yet got the bargaining chips to ask that question, B, because you should know already, and C, because, you know, it just puts people off. You know, if I sit there and interview someone, you know, for 45 minutes, and they tick all the right boxes, they come across well, and then their last question is, and how much are you going to pay me? Then I kind of think, oh, come on. I thought I thought you wanted to join because you buy into what we're doing as a company. You know, if you're talking about working in a bank, then you're not going to care how much you're paid. If you've got a brain, you're not going to care how much you're paid in the first year of your employment there, because you know if you are good and talented and you move into their investment banking division that you're going to be a multimillionaire by the time you're 35. You know? So it's a question of, some people put it like this, that your early 20s are your investment years. They're your years where you work, you don't get paid that much, but you gain experience, you learn, you work. And then there seems to be a watershed when people hit about 25, 26, 27, where some people stay on a relatively low salary, and then some people climb up to 10,000 a month, 12,000, maybe even, you know, 15, 16, 17, 18. Thousand a month, people differentiate themselves, is what I'm saying.
And that's it, Robert Parkinson, CEO and founder of RMG Selection. And that's it for this episode of Education Today. Education Today is aired at 11:30 a.m. every workday, live on AM 846 in Beijing and other overseas stations. I'm Mu Yo. Thank you for listening.